It's a joy to be here this morning. Thank you, brothers, for the beautiful singing, lifting our voices together to worship God, to praise His name. It's a joy and a blessing to be able to hear God's word spoken. Brother David, thank you for that. John D. Martin has taught us that joy is one of the chief evidences of grace in the heart. It's amazing. And there must have been some of that in the apostle's heart there to be able to glory in his infirmities. After the list of what he encountered, he talks about in 2 Corinthians 4 that this light affliction. Leonard Ravenhill says, my, he must have been a headache to the devil. The devil threw everything he had at him and he calls it a light affliction. Truly, as we sang this morning, we see there the testimony of lifting the human into the divine. That was a beautiful prayer. I don't know if you caught that in that hymn. But we prayed that God would lift the human into that which is divine. You know, that's what the church is called to be. Christianity is called to be, as someone has said, it's either superhuman or it's superficial. Christianity is the work of God. Church is to be the evidence of the power of God. How sadly we fail in that sometimes. It causes me to grieve over my own life. May God help us. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the beautiful word we could hear this morning and the many blessings we have as we sit here together. We pray, Father, that you would be glorified. And Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today. What I say has very little value. But we pray that your Spirit and your word would speak to our hearts. Oh God, that's what we need. Help me to not get in your way. That's my greatest fear today. Help me to not take away, to hinder, or to grieve your Spirit. Lord, we would be channels only, blessed Master. We pray that your word would come through clearly to our hearts here today. And that your word would be like a hammer that would break our hearts. And that it would have its course. And that it would bring forth fruit that pleases and honors you, O God. We pray that we may stand together in awe at your word. We pray for that holy reverence and fear of the Almighty God to be in our midst today. That we would receive, reaching out, receiving from you, Lord. Through this service, we thank you for each dear person who is here today, each brother and sister. And, oh God, minister to us together. We live in dark and trying times. We need you, Lord. We need your power and your Spirit to direct us and to preserve us in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. Help us to shine forth as lights. For your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I had thought I would continue in Romans 14 this morning. I was determined to do that. And God just kept bringing this message back to my heart. So we'll try to be faithful. And He has given us a burden to bring this message. Just because mostly it's something he's been doing in my own heart. I'd like to preach this morning a message that I titled, A God Who Is Speaking. And it's interesting because I think last Sunday, Brother Most preached a message called The Power of Words. And now this morning we want to consider for a few moments, A God Who Is Speaking. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. I have quite a bit of scripture here. I've just been challenged as I begin this study in my own heart and life, just the way that God's Word, this principle is clear through the Scriptures. It's nothing new here this morning that I'm teaching, but maybe just a call to remind us about the importance of this principle in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, we'll read the first three verses. And again, this will not be an exposition of this passage, but we're turning to it to draw a principle out of here, and then we'll try to go forward with that. Hebrews chapter 1 begins with God in the King James Version. It's not quite so in the Greek, I don't believe, but I like the way it begins here. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And Genesis 1:1 begins with the words, in the beginning, God. So the Bible begins there with introducing us to God. And it's the same way in this way Hebrews begins here. And in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning was God. And you don't get very far in Genesis. It's only two verses later in verse 3 that we're introduced to God. And then in the third verse of that chapter, it says something about God. It says, and God said. God spoke. And as he spoke, something began to happen. Now, it tells us here in Hebrews 1, verse 1, it tells us this God who introduces us in this verse, it tells us that he spake. And verse 2 says, has spoken. And it tells us the principle here. We could divide the two testaments. In the first verse, we have the Old Testament. The Old Testament is simply a record of the sundry times and diverse manners in which God spake in times past. The Old Testament is a record of that speaking of God. In verse 2 here, it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And we could go back to Acts chapter 1 Luke the evangelist there is writing to us. And he says, the former treatise I wrote unto you of all that Jesus began to do and to speak and to say. I believe is how it is. I didn't look that up. But it says it like, begin to do and to teach. He began to do and to teach. So God, the Old Testament is a record of God speaking to his people in the words that were spoken. And it tells us that he did that in various times, in different times and in various ways. And that's the whole Testament records for us, the prophets over and over. The word of the Lord came unto me. And the word of the Lord came unto me. And we have there, recorded for us in the whole Testament, just a beautiful principle that God is a God who speaks. He speaks to his people. And then we have verse 2 reminds us that the New Testament that we have and hold is how God spoke to us by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this whole Bible recorded for us. The very principle, this whole thing breathes of us. The very principle that a God is a God who speaks. God is a God who is speaking. God is a God who desires and longs to communicate. You know, sometimes it seems to us like God is not close and we're pressing through and we're sensing dry and shriveled up and we're struggling in our spiritual life and God doesn't seem close. But brother and sister, the challenge and the problem with that is not that God has moved away from us. He never moves away from us. He is longing to speak and to reveal himself, to communicate to the searching and the seeking heart. He's a God who is speaking. And these few verses very clearly remind us of that principle here in Hebrews chapter 1. God longs to communicate. He longs to reveal himself and communicate to his people. He's a God who is speaking. Now it tells us here how he did this, and we're not going to go into that, but we know it was a progressive revelation. It was through the prophets. 2 Peter 1 verse 21 tells us there where the Apostle Peter is remembering and reflecting upon that time in the Mount of Transfiguration, as we'll reference it later again. But he was there on the mountain, and it says there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. They heard that voice there on the mountain. It left such an impression to him. But he says, even though we heard that voice and we had that experience, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It says here in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. Not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He spake unto our fathers in various times, in various ways, by the prophets. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God has always communicated with His people. He longs to reveal Himself to that heart. Now we want to look at a little comparison today. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. This has challenged me in my personal reading. Here I want to draw some thoughts and maybe a comparison, if you allow me to, from this account in history of the nation of Israel. A God who is speaking. That is the principle of the whole Bible. God has not stopped speaking. What I'm concerned about this morning, one of the things I'm concerned about this morning, is what is the attitude and the posture of our hearts when we consider this truth and this principle. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, we'll read these first five verses and then jump down later into the chapter just for the sake of time. But here we have Moses reflecting and reminding the people of the time they spent there at Mount Sinai. We could turn to Exodus 19 and read this account when it happened there, but we're going to draw it out of this passage here. But it's a reflection upon what happened there when God spoke to the nation of Israel on Mount Sinai. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel! Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount, out of the midst of the fire. And I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, this is what God said there and goes through the Ten Commandments. And let's go down to verse 22. These words the Lord spake unto you, all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass when ye heard the voice of, out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice. Out of the midst of the fire, we have seen this day that God doth talk with men, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more. Then we shall die. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then shall we die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go thou near, Moses, And hear. You go and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee. And we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken unto thee. And God accepted that for somehow, some way. He says, they have well said all that they have spoken. And it almost seems like God was okay with that. And maybe he was. It would imply that. But look at verse 29. He said, it is well what they have spoken. I've heard what they said. It is well what they have spoken. But here's the heart of God. He said, Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. That was their response to what happened there on the mount. They said, we can't handle God speaking. We want you to go and hear. You go, Moses, you go hear God speak. You tell us what he says and we will do it. Do you think God knew that this would work? Do you think God thought this would work? I don't think so. I think God knew it wouldn't work. What was the problem here with these people? Think about it for a little bit. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 3. And here we see the heart of the servant, God's servant Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23. This is speaking about when Moses was forbidden to enter Canaan. Verse 23, and Moses, and I, Moses, besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But here we see a different heart. We see the heart of the servant of God, Moses, the servant of the Lord. And he says here in verse 24, he says, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. And you know, God said this of Moses. He said, there's no other man like Moses. I have spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. I've never done that with another man, God said. But with Moses, my servant, I spoke to him as face to face. And Moses had tremendous revelations of God. And yet you see the posture of his heart in verse 24. He says, you have just begun to show me the greatness in the mighty hand of God. You've just begun, Lord. I want to go on. I want to go further. I want to press in. I want to know more about you. You've just begun, Lord. And you see the contrast of the people there at Mount Sinai. They had the thunder and the lightning and they heard the voice of God speaking from that cloud. And they said, no more. No more. We can't handle that. But Moses, the servant of the Lord, is God. You've just begun. I want the rest. I want to go on. Show me your glory. You notice the contrast of those two hearts. And that is why God said in verse 29 there, oh, that there were in them such a heart. And why did God write those commandments? Why did he write them on stone? Because that stone was a representation of the hearts of those people. Oh, that there were in them such a heart that they would fear me. The heart was not there. The heart was not there to fear God. And the heart was not there to hear God. How do our hearts respond this morning? It's the beautiful truth that God wants to speak and is speaking to us. He wants to communicate. He wants to speak to our hearts. I was sitting here and I remember this Psalm 50. I'll read a few verses here. Verse 1, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. And he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee, I am God, even thy God. And you see the heart of God there again in Psalm 50, verse 17 of that psalm says, seeing, he's speaking of his people, seeing thou hatest instruction, and casteth my words behind thee. And so there we have part, the problem God had with his people. You hated instruction, and you cast my words behind you. Let's turn back to Hebrews. A God who is speaking. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's begin reading in verse 18. Here we have again, it's very appropriate that the Hebrew writer would also reflect on this account there in Exodus 19, which he does in this passage. Hebrews 12, verse 18. Now this is writing to believers. This is writing to God's children. This is instruction for us here today. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. You see it there? It's remembering, it's reflecting, it's reminding of this account in Exodus where the mount was touched with fire and God came down and there was a sound of a trumpet, was a loud sound there, and then there was voice speaking from the cloud. And God was speaking to his people. And it says, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Verse 20. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. It was a very, very fearful revelation of God. Moses, the servant of the Lord, was trembling there in the presence of God. And so will we, brothers and sisters. Verse 22, here's a contrast now. This is saying, it's going back here. It says, you are not come unto that mountain. That is not the mountain that we've came to. But, verse 22, you are come unto Mount Zion. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What does the blood of Abel speak? You know this. What did the blood of Abel speak? What's that? Revenge! Avenge me, my enemies! Avenge! The blood of Abel spoke from the ground. Avenge me, my enemy and my adversary. But this is saying the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus speaks. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly speak for me. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. Nor let the ransomed sinner die. The blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Verse 25 says, see, now listen here. See, you be careful, that you refuse not him that speaketh. Be careful here that you refuse not him that speaketh. Like they did at Mount Sinai. Be careful that you refuse not him that speaketh. And that word speaketh is in the present tense. A God who is speaking. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. And it says, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, was saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Listen here, see that. So the admonition is here. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth. They did not escape. Neither will we. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now there are many voices that are speaking today. And technology has just made this, exploded this. We have this little device called a telephone we carry with us. And on there we hear many voices speaking. And the further we go into this technology, the further we get into social media and networking, social networking, and the more texting and all that, the more voices we have speaking. It's okay to hear voices speaking. We have opportunities to speak back and to minister. But see that you refuse not him that speaketh. See that all those distractions don't drown out the voice of God in your life today. Are you hearing him speak? When's the last time you heard him speak to your heart through his word or by his spirit? When's the last time you spent time on your face and you didn't get up until God spoke to you? See that you refuse not him that speaketh. In the midst of all the voices of this world. In Matthew 17, it's also recorded in Mark and Luke, but there in Matthew 17, in those three gospel accounts, we have recorded for us what is called the Transfiguration. And here, I already referenced this from 2 Peter. But Peter and John and James, Jesus took them up there on that mountain. And Luke says he prayed and he was transfigured before them. Anyway, they were on that mountain. And they were in there and there's a cloud came down. They saw tremendous glory there as Jesus was transfigured. And then the cloud came down and as they entered into that cloud, there was fear there. I believe a holy reverence and awe of God is that God was in the cloud. But it says here in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, and these three apostles were there with the Lord Jesus on that mountain. And the cloud came down and they heard this voice speaking. And this is what it said. This was God bearing testimony to his son. And the voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear him. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Hear him. God's testimony and admonition to those disciples, those apostles there, was that you would hear him. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice.
Over and over in the apostle, in the gospel accounts as Jesus is ministering, he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He doesn't mean noise and decimals, but he that has ears to hear the voice of God speaking, let him hear. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We must know his voice. We must be able to recognize his voice. We must be able to hear his voice. In the midst of all the confusing voices that are speaking around us, we must learn to hear and to recognize the voice of God speaking to us. Culture is speaking to us. The world is speaking to us. And it's good to have friends, young people, but our friends are speaking to us. And some of those things are good. But are they drowning out the voice of God? Is there a heart, a longing in our hearts to hear God speaking? Are we convinced of the amazing, amazing privilege to walk with God and to hear Him speak to our hearts by His Word and through His Spirit? What an amazing, amazing privilege. What do I do with that privilege? Do I cast His words behind my back, behind me? In Luke chapter 10, we have another challenge we encounter that's very real in our lives. We have so many voices speaking. So many voices. It's real. I understand that. So many voices. Another challenge we have is represented for us, illustrated for us in this account in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. "Now it came to pass as they went that he," Jesus, "entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm so blessed with our hearts here to serve your hearts. And God bless you. I don't want to turn that away. God forbid that we would ever put energy, take the energy into serving others and turn it to ourselves. But Jesus this passage clearly illustrates to us that if our service is cutting out our time to hear the voice of God, we have backslidden. We've backslidden. If we're too busy to hear the Word of God and to hear God speaking, what is wrong with us? Where will we go, brothers and sisters? What a challenge to my heart this morning. This is not in condemnation. But we must make it a priority to spend time with the God who is speaking. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. John Wesley was at a very important dignitary in England's home one evening for supper, for dinner. And after the dinner was over, he made preparations to leave. And the man said, "The night's still young. Why are you leaving? It's still young." And he said, "I have an appointment in the morning at 4:00. And he said, "So early? Is it that important?" I mean, this was a prominent dignitary man in England. And he's trying to find out, is that meeting more important than spending time with me? And John Wesley said, my appointment is with God at 4:00. And I'm sorry, sir, I don't think he said this, but his action showed, yes, that one is more important than this one. I have an appointment with God. We can learn a lot from others. This message is not at all promoting individualism or independence or the lack of a need of a brotherhood. God speaks to us through our brothers and sisters. We need to learn to hear the voice of God. He speaks to us many various ways. So I'm not trying to minimize that. But you and I have a need. We'll look at it here shortly. To hear the voice of God speaking to our own hearts. There are so many books. There are so many good books and devotionals. Some of these are good. We can learn things about God from some of these books. But brother and sister, these books may not take our time away from hearing God speak. They can never replace hearing from God Himself. And He can use these books. And so much today we see, brothers, we see a God who is speaking to a people who are not listening. That's what happened in the Old Testament. A God who is speaking to a people who are not listening. And this stood out to me just this week in reading. Not only is it essential, as we'll see soon, it's so essential and so important that we learn to hear from God through His Word. We learn to walk with God. But it's also, we live in very deceptive times. We live in times of great deception, and the Bible would imply that it will get worse. But this is a safeguard against deception. And it says here in Deuteronomy 13, I'll read these first four verses. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. This is Deuteronomy 13. It says, verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign of a wonder or a wonder. So here is a miracle is taking place. A wonder is happening. And Moses is telling the people, if there arise from you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and you see this sign. Verse 2, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. He's saying here, this arises a prophet or a dreamer, and he gives a sign. And that sign comes to pass. But at the same time, either in the sign or in the message of this prophet, he's encouraging you to follow other gods. Deception. He's leading you into deception. Verse 3 says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. He proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And he's saying that men will rise up. Men will make prophecies. Men will show signs. And you'll be tempted to follow them away from me. But you should not hear their voice. You should not hearken to their words. It says God's allowing this to see whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And verse 4 is an explanation of what that means and what that looks like to love God with our heart and all our soul. Verse 4 says, you shall walk after the Lord your God. Shall walk after Him and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. And you shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. But that's all part of what it means to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul. And brothers, we live in a deceptive times. Here is a recipe, a safeguard against deception. Walk after the Lord your God. Pursue after. Chase after. Make it the pursuit of your life to follow God and walk with God as Enoch did. Fear Him. There needs to be a holy and a reverent fear of God. And you know, we live in a society and a culture where the fear of God has departed. We need to get back to where we have a holy, reverent fear of God. Fear Him. Keep His commandments. And obey His voice. Obey His voice. Know His voice and obey it. Serve Him and cleave unto Him. There is a safeguard against deception. Now we must move forward here. 2 points here I want to bring out of this principle. First of all, this is how we are converted. This is how any person, any soul, will ever be born of God, is by hearing His voice. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again by that word, hearing that voice. I don't know if you caught it in Acts chapter 16. Brother David referenced this. It's beautiful. It tells us here, and this Philippian jailer, he sprang in there, and he came trembling, and he fell down, and he brought them out, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So they told him, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. And what did they do? It says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. They said, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they began to speak to him the word of the Lord. And there came a moment when that Philippian jailer, when I heard that voice, he heard that word of God, and there was faith in his heart, and there was a new life conceived. And he was born by the word of God. He heard the word of God. That's how he was saved. That's how anyone will be saved. They won't be saved by hearing my voice, necessarily, unless God's voice is speaking through it. Reminds me of the preacher who was walking home late one night in the dark, and he met this man that was drunk. The man was trying to make an impression on the preacher. And he said, oh, he said, you're the man who converted me. And the preacher hung his head and wept. He said, it's obvious that I converted you, for if the Lord Jesus Christ had converted you, you wouldn't be drunk. John chapter 5. This is how we're born again, by hearing the voice of God through His Word, by His Spirit. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus speaking here. I know we're breaking in. But verse 24 of John 5, these words are in red. And this verse begins with, verily, verily, truly, truly. Truly, truly, Jesus speaking to these people. These were Jews. These were people that had tremendous knowledge of God's Word and the Scriptures. At one point He said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But obviously they did not hear the voice of God through those Scriptures. I'm not going to go into that, but let's look here. John 5:24, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word and believeth, there is a hearing, and there's a faith in the heart that come together. And out of that, there's new life that is born. Verse 25. He says again, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And until very recently, I always thought of that as when Jesus returns. But I saw it differently. Look down further in verse 28. Marvel not at this. He's saying, don't marvel at that. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice. In verse 29, it shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. But there's a difference between what he's talking about in verse 25 and verse 28. In verse 25, he's saying that the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Those are people getting converted, born again by the Spirit and the Word of God. They that hear shall live. And you know, brothers and sisters, the gospel of the Lord Jesus is not just to make bad men a little better. The gospel of the Lord Jesus is to take dead men and women and make them alive. When they hear the voice of the Son of God, they shall live. And he says, don't marvel at that. Don't marvel at that. That's amazing. But don't marvel at that, for the day is coming when the voice of the Son of God will waken up all the dead. He'll speak and they'll all be raised from their graves. There's creative power in the Word of God. Genesis 1:3, we referenced that already. In the beginning was God. 2 verses later, and God said, and it happened. And God said, and it happened. And God said, and it happened. Creative power in the Word of God. So when you and I hear that voice, if you're here this morning, you've never been born again, begin to pray that you could hear His voice. And there's creative power in the voice of God. Psalm 29 records that for us so beautifully. It says, by the voice of the Lord, the hinds calve, and by the voice of the Lord, there is power and majesty. By the voice of the Lord, by the voice of the Lord. It's beautiful. But there is creative power in the voice of the Lord, in the Word of God. When we hear His voice, that's how we are made alive to eternal life. That's the first principle. That's how we are converted, by hearing the voice, the Word of God. The second one is, that's how we are to live. That's our source of life. A God who is speaking. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You can turn there if you want to. I know we're jumping back and forth quite a bit. But this is, you know this, these words that are recorded for us here. But we want to get this principle. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no. Did God know what was in their heart at Mount Sinai? Yes. Yes. But the people didn't know what was in their hearts. And He led them for 40 years. So it might be evident what was in their hearts. To humble thee. To bring you down. I led you for 40 years through the wilderness. To bring you down. For you to know what was in your heart. Whether you would keep my commandments or not. Verse 3. And He, God, humbled thee. He suffered thee to hunger, and He fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. He fed thee with this manna. None of us today can scientifically explain this. This manna came down every morning. But for 5 days of the week, if you gathered more than you could use that day, it bred worms. But on the sixth day, you were required to gather twice as much so you don't have to gather on the Sabbath. And it was totally fine. Can you explain that? It was God. He fed thee with manna day after day after day. He fed them with manna. Why did He do that? That He might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth men live. That's why He did it. I led you for 40 years. I fed you with manna every day that you might learn. I am your life. I am the source of your life. And you're to live by every word that proceeds from my mouth. Go back to John chapter 6, Gospel of St. John. He talks about this. Jesus is telling them. And we're not going to go through this passage, but we could start way back. In verse 31, they brought it up to Him. Well, it starts with the miracles of the loaves. Jesus said in verse 26, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." Verse 31, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And it goes down through this passage, and they were talking about this manna from the Old Testament, and Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life. You're to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." And He's basically saying, "I am your source of life. And you're to live by me." And God could say there on that Mount of Transfiguration, "Hear ye Him." Hear Him. "See that you refuse not Him that speaketh." Our very spiritual life is dependent upon hearing His voice. There's so much more to be said. Please study it for yourselves. Romans 8:31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My word, if you abide in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you abide in My words, if you dwell in My words, you shall know the truth. Or then are you My disciples indeed. We can look at John 15, just the important, beautiful principle. Just to reflect this morning, do you and I know what it is to hear from God? Do we know what it is to hear from God? And do we know how to hear from God? Are we learning? It's a genuine concern on my heart. Do we have the time? We are to live through His word. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." That's how we're called to live as His people. 7 times in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 where the messages are coming to the churches. 7 times. That's once for each church. He ends that message to the church. "He that hath an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, he that can hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Oh, we must be hearing, brothers and sisters. We must be hearing God's word. We must be hearing the voice of God through His word. In closing, we want to look at a couple warnings here in Hebrews. If you want to turn back there, you can. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Simply means drift away. Lest at any time we should let them slip. We must give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels, that's referencing the Old Testament covenant. Galatians brings some light to what's meant there by the angels. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. This salvation was spoken by the Lord, and confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. And God said to those apostles, hear ye Him. They heard Him. They confirmed it and passed it on. Chapter 3 of Hebrews. We could read this passage, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. They heard the voice and they hardened their hearts. And by hardening their hearts, they could not hear the voice. And that voice was the very source of their life. Verse 9, when your fathers... Okay, verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. There's no rest for that. Take heed therefore, brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. They did provoke. So there's some warnings for us in the book of Hebrews. We could probably go further and see more. Those are a couple we just picked out. But there is a God who is speaking, and it is a thrill and a joy. At the same time, it brings fear to our hearts. But brothers and sisters, we need to hear His voice. We need to know what it is like to spend time with God in His Word, in our family times, and to hear His voice speaking to our hearts through His Word. I'm talking about things that are extra biblical or out of the Scriptures, or there's a lot of deception there. But this Word is alive. Jesus said the Word is quick. Hebrews 4 says the Word is quick and powerful. The Word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. May God help us. to hear the God who is speaking. God bless you.